talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Some good news just announced. I want to make sure we take advantage of it. Governor Evers announced that the state has a $6.6 billion surplus for this biennial budget. And that does not include the $1.7 billion that's in the budget stabilization fund, the so-called rainy day fund. And the fact of the matter is that the state general revenue balance is about $8 billion. It's going to go up in the following year to about $9 billion. We have the lowest unemployment in, 50 years? Governor Evers has proposed something that I support, but I want to go a lot further. He's proposed a $600 million tax cut, including a 10% reduction in the income tax rate. And that is a good idea. It's a very good idea. I remember back in 1978, historically, in 1978, Marty Schreiber was the Democratic acting governor, because Pat Lucey, who had been the governor, had just been appointed ambassador to Mexico by President Carter. So Pat Lucey was gone. Marty Schreiber came in, and a fellow named Lee Dreyfus ran. And Lee Dreyfus was opposed in the primary by Bob Caston. Bob Caston was a congressman from Waukesha, the old 9th Congressional District. Lee Dreyfus won the primary. He was the guy. He was a chancellor at Stevens Point, kind of a happy, merry guy, smart guy, and he'd go around the state in a bus with a band playing music, and he got everybody to vote for him. And in the general election, it looked like we had a real good shot of holding that seat. Marty Schreiber was a good governor, a good man. But Lee Dreyfus, there was a surplus, and Lee Dreyfus turned that against the Democrats instead of are applauding it, and said that it should all be given back to the taxpayers. And the Democrats didn't respond to that well enough, and Lee Dreyfus was elected governor for one term, and then he got tired of it, and he didn't run for re-election in 1982, and Tony Earle got elected governor. He was a great governor himself. Now, let me tell you something, how I would handle this, and I think it's important. Yes, there should be a $600 million tax cut. Yes, there should be a 10% reduction in the income tax rate. But some of this money should be used to restore the University of Wisconsin system. That's an issue that I care a great deal about. The Republican Party over the years, by starving the UW system, has driven down our reputation nationally and driven down the morale of professors, the morale of students, and that has badly impacted the state. So let me give you some examples. I was in law school at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, proud grad of UW, back in the early 70s. When I got out of the Navy, I entered law school in Madison. And in 1972, when I entered it, you know what my tuition was? $250 a semester. $250 a semester. Why is that? I had the GI Bill. It was good. But why is that? It was because the state contributed almost half of the operating revenue of the UW. I think in the high 40s, about 47% maybe. Over the years, the Republicans have whittled that down. So now the state contributes about 17% of the operating revenue of the UW system. It's worse than some other states, and Colorado is down to 5%. But in this state, 17% is absurd. So what's happened is, I mean, there's been inflation and so forth, and with the best management in the world, what's happened is tuitions have had to go up. In effect, user fees. User fees are detrimental, frankly, to any institution, and they really impact less affluent people the most. Then what happened is the Republicans say, oh, tuition's too high, even though they're the ones that drove it up. So we're going to freeze tuition. Well, when you freeze tuition and you've lowered the operating revenue contribution you have to 17%, what happens is professors and staff get laid off. Buildings don't get repaired. New buildings don't get built. And there is an anti-intellectual urge. It really is reminiscent of some of the regimes, you know, in Iran and elsewhere, who hate anything modern and hate anything having to do with education. The Republican Party has come that way, and it didn't used to be in the far distant past. But here are some examples. The University of Stevens Point announced at one point that it was going to give up liberal arts programs. There was such a furor that they backtracked. But take the UWM, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I'm on the board of visitors there. It's dear to my heart. My dad was a professor at UW-Milwaukee for 34 years. He was chairman of the Spanish department for part of that. And in those days, when the UWM was formed in the late 50s, and it was formed out of a what had been before, I think, a teacher college, and they went on a search, and they brought in some of the best faculty around the country. In the 1960s and the 1970s, UWM was considered one of the better, maybe one of the best universities in the country. UW-Madison was considered one of the top 30, I think it was 35 universities in the world. That includes the entire Ivy League, all the universities in the United States, thousands of them. It includes Oxford, Cambridge, the Sorbonne, Salamanca, Heidelberg, universities in Peking, Moscow, everywhere. We were a world-class university. We still are, because I'll tell you how we were doing it. The salaries that we're paying for some of these professors are so low relative to the competition. And we're talking professors with worldwide reputations, both at Madison and UWM, that there are some donors, some philanthropists, and they'll get a call from the chancellor in Madison or UWM. They'll say, this particular professor has just gotten an offer from Northwestern or somewhere for $30,000 a year more. And he says, look, I want to stay in Madison or Milwaukee, but I really can't afford it. And these donors will step up and make an individual gift to sustain that professor. This can't go on. This can't go on. And this attack by the Republican Party, this anti-intellectual attack on higher education, is having an impact on the quality of the graduate students that we're attracting to Madison and to Milwaukee. It's having an impact on students. The UW Law School, at one time, was one of the top 10 in the country. When I went there, it was one of the top. It's still a great law school, but in general esteem around the country, it's fallen. The state simply won't support it. The state simply won't support it. Fortunately, there's a new chemistry building being built in Madison and in Milwaukee. Maybe the one in Madison's already been completed. But I remember the former chemistry building had been built before some elements had even been discovered. I mean, come on. Come on. The University of Texas in Austin is first class, and they're putting the money in that's necessary. But in terms of salaries, in terms of support, and frankly, stupid anti-intellectual attacks by Republican legislators who don't know what they're talking about. They'll read the course syllabus. Why do we need that? Why do we need this? Why do we need liberal arts? At UWM, they used to have a strong Spanish department, a strong French department, strong German department. You study Italian, Portuguese, Polish. These kinds of subjects get hit first because a lot of those professors don't get the kind of grants that other people do. And now you have many courses simply taught by teaching assistants, and they're kind of consolidating all the languages. This is disgusting that this has happened to UW. It's frankly disgusting that it's happened to UW. And you know what really kills me is Republican legislators always say, well, you don't need a college education and this, that, and the other thing. That is baloney. Baloney. Many of the ones that say that have very good educations, and they're simply misleading, frankly, and especially people who would be first generation going to college. None of my grandparents went to college. My mom didn't go to college, but all of them saved up and they wanted their kids and their grandkids to go to college. College is a good thing. You should go to college. And college is not a trade school. It's not some absurd thing. Well, we have to, something useful, not liberal arts. Let me tell you something. You know, in terms of applying to grad schools and the graduate record exams, who gets the highest scores? Philosophy majors. And who gets the lowest scores? Business majors. Let me tell you something else. You should have a general liberal education at the college level. I don't care if your parents went there or not, or your grandparents. My grandparents didn't go there, neither did my mom. So what? Back in the day, you couldn't afford to sometimes. Well, now you can afford to. There are Pell Grants, you can work, you can take a slightly lower load. If you want to go to college, you can go to college. And my advice is, do not go into it as if it's a trade school. Do not go into it as if it's a trade school. Take liberal arts, take history courses, take philosophy courses, literature courses, and yes, math courses and computer courses and everything else. Come out as an educated person. You're being misled by the Republican Party. Use some of this surplus to restore the UW system, all of the colleges in the university system. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I just want to wrap up the segment on the UW. The other thing, this is all Scott Walker, by the way. This is all Scott Walker. The other thing that he did, in addition to sticking a knife financially into the UW system, he got rid of shared governance and he kept attacking tenure, attacking the morale of a great university. Shared governance simply was gave deference to the expertise of professors to decide in a given department who was good, who had published, who was a good teacher in their profession, and they would share in the governance of the college. Walker attacked that, and he attacked tenure. Why should people have tenure? Let me tell you something about the history of universities. They're not obvious. They're not obvious. You can say that the first university, in a sense, was when Plato instructed Aristotle, and then Aristotle instructed his students in the academe. And Aristotle, by the way, was the teacher for Alexander the Great, and Plato learned a lot from Socrates. Now, you're not going to find a lot of that, what I just described, in a university today, any university. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, and Alexander the Great is the four in a row who instructed them. However, there were great universities in Paris, in London, in Oxford, the Sorbonne, going back to the 13th century. And this has been going on for, 900 years. And the idea of an independent university, the idea of an independent bunch of professors who contribute to the education of their country, which is the greatest asset any country has, That's why we have public education in this country from kindergarten through 12th grade. Free public education. Bill Gates' son and daughter could go to a free public education for 12 years. And there's a reason for it. And frankly, they can go to college as well. There are ways of going. But what the Republicans have done is attack and demoralize the faculty, attacking shared governance, attacking tenure. You don't get tenure lightly. And if things get really bad financially with the university, somebody from with tenure can be laid off, but they want him to be laid off. They don't like what he wrote. Tax the independence of professors. Tax the independence of professors. So the $6.6 billion, it is a scandal that tuitions are the way they are today. They have got to be reduced substantially, and that can be done by increasing the share of the operating costs assumed by the state. I want to give you a piece of good news. Change the subject a little bit. Piece of good news. Joe Biden is going up in the esteem of Democrats. And you may say, well, he was always in the esteem of Democrats. And that's true. But after the constant attacks on him by the right, by the Republican Party, about 60% of Democrats said they wanted him to run again, but the other 40 were skeptical. And that was because of all the attacks on his age and all that. Well, let me tell you a couple of things. Joe Biden was an athlete in high school. He's in great shape. He's sharp as a tack. He stuttered. That's not his fault. They make fun of his stuttering. They make fun of his stuttering on hate radio. But thank God he's the president. Otherwise, we'd be out of NATO. Russia would be in Ukraine. China would be in the Philippines. We had Trump in there again. Social Security under attack. Biden stands tall. Well, as a result of the midterm elections and a result of the skillful handling of the Democratic Party through the midterm elections, now 71% of Democrats want Biden to run again. Now, you may think, well, why not 100%? You're never going to get 100%. And these toxic attacks on him take some kind of a toll. The support of him, if he does run, is well into the 90s, so don't worry about that. But all this talk and baloney about other Democrats running against Biden, that ain't going to happen. He's the incumbent. He's doing a very good job. And it's gone up to 71%. It'll go up higher. Support him for renomination. Now, who are the Republicans going to nominate? They're hoping, some of them, that it's not somebody in prison, Donald Trump. They may get their wish because Merrick Garland is amazingly weak in approaching the idea of prosecuting Trump for stealing classified documents. Anybody else would be, turns it over to a private, well, no, I shouldn't say private, special counsel. You know, this guy gets thrown into the hot seat and they're all saying, well, he has to do more research about what? About what? There's no dispute that he took these documents. He doesn't say that he declassified them. That's other people on hate radio say that. So what are we waiting for? But Trump may run. Everybody goes, oh, well, DeSantis may beat him. Don't bet on it. DeSantis talks violently. And DeSantis glowers. He's a violent DeSantis. He is the guy that said he'd like to chuck that little elf. That's what he called an eminent epidemiologist, Dr. Fauci, a little elf. Who the hell is he to call him a little elf? You know, your size is determined by your genes, Jack, okay? Your size is determined by your genes. Dr. Fauci is a humble guy, very, very good doctor. DeSantis said he'd like to chuck him across the Potomac. That's a violent statement. It's a violent statement. You know, even a Ronald Reagan, people like that didn't talk that way. People don't want somebody who talks that way. And he glowers. He never smiles. I've never seen him smile. When I have, it gave me the willies. He's not going to beat Trump. And nobody else they have is going to beat Trump. It's going to be Trump against Biden. Let's get ready for it. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Well, on the theme of who's running for president in 2024, the Florida legislature is about to do something that is absolutely predictable and typical of what happens when a gerrymandered Republican legislature gets its mitts on power. Give you the context, Florida has a law that it passed some time ago that says that if you are going to run for another office, you're going to run for another office, you have 10 days to resign after you qualify as a federal candidate for another office, another federal office. This was enacted to hurt Democrats. In other words, they feared certain Democrats in positions in Florida, in the state, would run for federal office and not have to give up their incomes and not have to give up their offices. I mean, in Wisconsin, somebody is in, for instance, the state Senate, wants to run for U.S. Senate. He can do it and he doesn't have to give up anything. Florida thought they were very sneaky, gerrymandered Republican legislature, very sly. Until now, the governor, DeSantis, wants to run for president, which is a federal office. Immediately, all of the leaders, Republican leaders, gerrymandered, illegitimate, they started to sing from the same hymn book that we have to change that law. It would be wonderful if DeSantis ran for president. Good for him. Good Ron DeSantis. We will back him. We will change the law so he doesn't have to give up governor. I mean, They treat the law like a nose of wax. In other words, you know, they don't like the way it looks on a statute. You push the nose a little bit to the left. These people are unbelievable. So they are going to change that law so he can run. Okay. So that may be a small thing. The question is, how does he do? Who else is running and what's going to happen? Well, I'll give you some examples. This Nikki Haley says she's going to run. Former governor of South Carolina. By the way, Nikki, she is originally of Sikh descent. She converted. She, you think that Nikki is, you know, a sort of a neat American name, N-I-K-K-I. It's actually a Sikh name. I think it means little butterfly or something, whatever it means. And that's fine. She's not running for the Republican nomination for president any more than I am. She's not going to get Schneider. She's running for a job. In her wildest dreams, she's running for vice president. They might stick her on the ticket. In her more realistic dreams, she's running for a cabinet position if a Republican gets in, and not an important one either. Some tucked away thing, some sinecure that she can have. So, you know, all these people go, oh, I'm running for president. No, they're not. They're running for other subordinate jobs. Ted Cruz, they go, oh, well, Ted Cruz may do it. Ted Cruz is a human lizard, a two-legged lizard. People's skin crawl when they hear him, hear his name, when they see him. Ted Cruz is never going to go anywhere nationally. Never go anywhere nationally. Donald Trump insulted his wife's looks and said his father was in on the JFK assassination. And you know what Cruz did? He said, I'm going to phone bank for Donald Trump. We need him as president. Sucked up to him after he insulted his wife and his dad. I mean, look, guy insults your wife and your dad. I mean, that's it. Punch him in the nose. I mean, you don't go, I'm going to phone bank for him. What kind of guy does that? I never understood why he could run for president anyway. He was born in Canada. He wasn't born in the United States. And his father was Cuban, a Cuban citizen. Mother was American from Delaware. So therefore, they say he's a natural-born citizen under the Constitution. Baloney. Not a natural-born citizen. Should have been thrown off the ticket last time. The Democrats dropped the ball on that. But if that happens again, we got to attack him. He's not a natural-born citizen. He has no right to run for president, in my opinion. I'm not the only one who thinks that. There's a guy named Lawrence Tribe, who's a distinguished professor of constitutional law at Harvard, and he's said the same thing. You put that aside, then who else do they have? Josh Hawley wants to run. Now, if Cruz is a human lizard, I mean, Josh Hawley's an amoeba. This guy, God, is he a sneaky guy. Have you ever taken a look at him? Have you ever listened to what he has to say? He's bad news, really bad news. There's no convictions whatsoever. Not going to run. I don't think he's going to run. DeSantis, of course, we talked about him before. DeSantis talks violently. People don't like violence. Republican Party has become violent in its talk and demeanor. Hate radio talks violently. Hate TV talks violently. Paul Pelosi was hit in the head with a hammer. Guy's charged with a felony for breaking his skull. 82-year-old guy has to go into surgery. I'm surprised he didn't have a subdural hematoma. You never know the long-term effects. One radio station played "If I Had a Hammer," and they laughed. They cackled. They cackled. You know, this kind of violence and violent talk has been absent from American politics since the Civil War. Yeah, there have been individual acts of violence, but you haven't had party people and prominent journalistic figures joking about violence. Trump saying that the Second Amendment people should take care of Hillary Clinton, that her bodyguard should be disarmed. Marjorie Taylor Greene advocating the assassination of Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, and threatened violence against Joe Biden. I'm very surprised, by the way, that they didn't arrest her, throw her in jail for making those kind of threats. Paul Gosar, a real amoeba from Arizona. He's a congressman. He's bad news. He comes from a large family. I don't know, 7 or 8 kids, and every one of them spoke against him and denounced him and expelled him from the family, essentially, because he's so bad. He put out a video showing violence, I think killing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and violence against Joe Biden, and he didn't get prosecuted. I don't know why Republicans don't get prosecuted when they threaten violence. Nancy Pelosi said, you can't carry a weapon on the floor of the House. That's a good idea, and it goes back a long time. During the Civil War, there's a guy named Charles Sumner. He was a senator from Massachusetts, and he was abolitionist, and he said the slave should be free. He said this just before the Civil War broke out, before Abraham Lincoln was elected. There's a congressman in South Carolina. He's a bad guy. And he got angry at that. And you know what he did? He ran to the Senate chambers, which he wasn't supposed to be in because he was a member of the House. And he had a lead-weighted cane. And Sumner was sitting in his bench, and he's sort of trapped in. You know, it's hard to get out of one of those things. And he beat him in the head and almost killed him. Those are the passions in the Civil War. And they're surfacing again. Take a look at what happened on January 6th. Take a look at the YouTube video. Those people were beating the hell out of the cops, punching them, hitting them with poles, throwing them on the floor. They almost trampled one to death. He said, I have 4 daughters. And then a couple of people protected him to spare him. People died. Something like 5 people died that day. Woman got trampled to death. Another woman got shot. That hasn't happened since the Civil War. That has not happened since the Civil War. So some of these Republicans on the right have the patina of violent threats about them. People don't like that. I think they're really missing the boat. I also think that Donald Trump, believe it or not, will do better in the primaries than people think. People know that he's essentially a Russian agent. He betrayed us, that he took those classified documents to monetize them. How do I know that? Because when he got a subpoena, he personally supervised the transfer of boxes of them onto a jet to take to Westminster and hide them again. And Merrick Garland, frankly, has sat on his hands on this thing for a year and a half. I mean, there was a woman who worked for the government who took a classified document on Ukraine to show the media, to really show what the Republicans were up to, and she got 5 years in prison, one document. And she did not take it to monetize it. But what are we waiting for? This Jack Smith, an excellent guy from what I understand, Garland throws him the hot potato and says, all right, you take it. Go ahead and indict the president, the former president who's just announced. And Garland chickened out as a bad appointment. Garland, by the way, was appointed because of celebrity. He'd been the judge whom the Republicans torpedoed, sat on for over a year, said they weren't going to even take him up. Then Trump, it was going to be an Obama appointment. Then Trump came in. And they rammed through Amy Comey Barrett. And after Trump lost the election. So she was nominated by a president who lost. And she was voted on by some senators who weren't going to be serving after that term. She's illegitimate. One of the tarantulas who's about in Moore v. Harper to vote and say that you cannot vote for Senate, for president anymore. We've talked about that. The independent state legislature theory, they can pick the electors if they want. That's what's happening. Non-elected people are being used by the Republican Party to destroy our democracy. So who else is going to run for the Republicans? Trump, maybe DeSantis. I doubt Cruz, maybe Nikki Haley. There's always going to be a kind of a rogues gallery, sort of a people at a Star Wars convention, life forms from around the universe will show up. None of them have a snowball's chance in hell. The guy with the greatest name recognition is Donald Trump. And the guy that some of the insiders want is going to be Ron DeSantis. And Ron DeSantis is not likable. He doesn't act like he's likable. He's talked violently and he's not going to win. So you're going to have Trump against Biden again. And Biden will beat him again. So hang in there, Joe Biden. Hang in there, Democrats. There is some light here at the end of the tunnel. Your Moscow Mitch continuing to use the filibuster. We got to keep fighting him. Going to the lines. Annie of Watertown, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Reminder Day, Annie.
Did you hear right on the radio, the news, Foxconn apparently is having some trouble in China, and I just wondered why it wasn't brought up more, and why the debacle of the money wasted on that is not more focused on.
Right. Well, you're talking to the right guy. When I ran for governor a couple of years ago, I put a lot of advertising about Foxconn saying, what, it was a scam, it was a fraud, and thank you, Scott Walker, for inflicting on this. Unbelievable, thank you. Thanks for calling, Andy. You're right, Foxconn was a scam, and nobody faced up to it, and we got cheated out of a lot of money. Really appreciate it. Joanne, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Joanne? We have a little over a minute before the break.
I'll be really fast. I'm interested in one candidate for a particular reason. Cory Booker, who has just astounded me in so many positive ways, and I actually was able to meet the individual and all that and do a little bit of research on him, and he has some of the background I have. I had a fellowship over at Oxford University, and he has as well, and had wow. as well, and of course Rachel Maddow had a comparable fellowship, and Maddow and Cory Booker are close friends, and I'm just wondering, why hasn't Booker taken off? Okay, long story short, I would vote for him in a heartbeat.
That is an excellent comment. I'm really glad you said that. And I'm going to talk right now. Evan is about to force me into a break. So I'm going to talk as much as I can. And Annie, I'm going to respond a little more to you on Foxconn after the break. And Cory Booker, I think the world of him. And I know people who know him personally. I think he was a Rhodes Scholar. Maddow was a Rhodes Scholar. And you yourself studied at Oxford. And that is really commendable. Let me hit that a little more after the break, what you and Annie just said. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Director, lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to get back to the good comments from Annie and Joanne. I'll start with Annie. Annie on Foxconn. The reason I ran those ads against Foxconn back when I ran for governor was because it was obviously a scam to me. They were promised about $4.5 billion. And basically, we went through over $1 billion, site preparation, road work, and everything else. They're supposed to make large screen TVs, then small screen, then coffee maker. Why are we giving somebody $4.5 billion to make coffee makers? We're not giving, we're not giving Johnson Controls any money, right? We're not giving Miller Brewing any money. Why should we give a Chinese company money? Walker got hoodwinked. Walker got hoodwinked because he was running for re-election and thought he could look like a businessman. The guy could not find his butt if he put both hands in his back pockets. He'd say, where did it go? Somebody stole my butt. I mean, quite literally. You put guys like that in charge of our money, and it goes down the drain. They get cheated, squandered. Then they kept talking about it, electric cars, but they blocked two people from using that land in Mount Pleasant, some of the most valuable land in the state for an enterprise or a factory. Why do I say that? Because it's sort of equidistant. We're very close to both Mitchell Field and O'Hare and Lake Michigan. Great transportation, great workforce, obviously. So what happened was Intel wanted to build a chip plant there, and they would have created thousands of jobs at high wages, unlike Foxconn, which is lying about it. Foxconn blocked it because the clowns in the Republican Party who gave them the site neglected to have a say as to where it went. Then Oshkosh wanted it. Oshkosh. They were going to build electric vehicles for the post office. Foxconn said they were going to build electric vehicles, and they were lying about it. They didn't do it. But they blocked Oshkosh. So Oshkosh went to South Carolina, and Intel went to Ohio. So it not only cost us $1 billion, but it cost us both Intel and then Oshkosh if Intel wasn't going to do it. This is a legacy of the Republican Party. The Republican Party cannot be trusted with money. You must understand that. Cannot be trusted with money. The ones that don't steal it, and most of the legislatures won't steal it for themselves, they'll steer it to their donors through selective tax breaks that basically benefit people who make about the 1% or 2% of the highest incomes. Or they will squander it, or they'll be cheated out of it. If you ever go to New York City, you go along 7th Avenue, there are three-card Monte games. Guys are there on the corner, and you know which cell is the peanut under and all this kind of stuff. And they always have an accomplice in the crowd, and he wins, and everybody goes, and then they get the rube. The rube goes in and gets cheated. That is a Republican in office. If he doesn't help his donors steal it, he will squander it or get cheated out of it. And then as far as Joanne, I want to say, Joanne, I think the world of Cory Booker, but he has to run if he's going to run, and not going to do it against Joe Biden because he's a good friend of Joe Biden. But thank you so much for calling. Two more callers I want to squeeze in before the show's over. I'll squeeze you both. Starting with Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Andy?
Well, just a quick comment. Walker was the worst thing that happened to the state of Wisconsin in absolutely my lifetime. But
right.
What Evers has done to help downtown businesses and all these small communities, has done way more than any crazy manufacturing plant that they were proposing down there in Pleasant Prairie. you know, and you know, the money, but the money that they got from the pandemic has been put to good use, and thereby everybody is flourishing, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, you're right on the money, and I had neglected to say that before on the surplus, but not only is Evers proposing a $600 million property tax decrease, and not only is our unemployment the lowest it's been in 50 years, but he has done an exceptional job in building small businesses and Main Street in the towns around this in the state. So thank you for bringing that up, Andy. That's very true. You can't trust Republicans with money. That's a mantra. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day. Wisco Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. Tony is becoming a rock star. Hard to believe, but he's becoming a rock star. Maybe we'll get lucky with Darling retiring, maybe. Yeah, that would be cool. But most of all, hey, nice call, Andy, and happy Thanksgiving to you. I know you personally, and you're a good dude. But I love your show, Matt. I may not call in every day, but I'm always listening. It's a lot easier to be hanging around 3 to 4 than 6 to 8. But happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and keep up all the work. You do make a difference. And, again, happy Thanksgiving to your family, and have a great holiday. Thanks, Matt. And that's it for the day.
Thank you very much, Paul. It means a lot to me, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And I always like it when you call in, and thank you for calling in. You just raised an issue, though, that I'm going to worm in a response before we have to go off the show. You talk about Alberta Darling. She has said December 1st she's resigning. That's what, a week? I mean, you know, it's real close. December 1st she's resigning, and that means they won't have the supermajority because they're missing a senator. This, what I'm about to say, is a message to the Democratic Party. Put up a strong candidate there. There'll be a special election. Do not think that it's just going to be by rote Republican. Not now. It has Mequon in it. It has places that have lately been drifting Democratic. Put in a good, responsible, somebody that I would put in is Deb Andraca. Deb Andraca is an assemblywoman from the North Shore. She is first rate. Put her in, because if we can pluck that Senate seat off, and Deb Andraca can run without jeopardizing her assembly seat, I strongly think she should run for that Senate seat, because they're going to come up. Who are they going to come up with? Some hack, somebody with an eye in the middle of his forehead and greenhorns. I mean, the usual, I'm talking metaphorically here, somebody who is will be part of the Republican attack on the University of Wisconsin system and part of the attack on democracy. Deb Andraca should run and just say that she will stand tall for our democracy in the legislature. She will not let the Republicans pick the presidential electors, and she will fight. What are they going to put up? Some Republican hack who's going to say he'll attack our democracy. Why don't they put up Gableman? I don't know who they're going to put up. They have some really questionable assemblymen they may try to put up. My vote, Deb Andraca, run for that state Senate seat. Don't give it up. Don't give up on it. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We're coming to the end of the show. Evan, happy Thanksgiving. Evan Preston, my friend and a co-host before.
Oh, it's
Evan,
good to see you.
Thank you for jumping in, my friend. I really appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving. Matt Flynn Direct signing off. I'll be back same time, same place on Friday. Thank you. Cradled by two loving arms that I'll die for. One little kiss and farewell.